So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance your current home, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Well, Rocket can, and producing this extravaganza is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
Hot Take Hickey.
We got to start the show tonight as Week 15 does get underway in about 2 hours from now with the San Francisco 49ers going up against the Seattle Seahawks. This was a game a few weeks ago we thought was going to mean a whole lot more and maybe could determine the NFC West. I think it's pretty damn clear that in these final 4 weeks of the season, which do get underway tonight, that the 49ers, even if they don't win this game tonight, they are still going to win the NFC West when they currently have a record of 9-4 and the Seahawks are 7-6. But for Seattle, this game is more important. This game is enormous for them because the Seahawks team that we were praising a few weeks ago and looked like they were a shoo-in to make the postseason now may miss out on the playoffs. And you look at the way that they've played for the last 4 weeks. They lose to Tampa. Then they lose to the Raiders. They bounce back, but they beat the Rams, and the Rams have been god-awful. And they just lost to the Carolina Panthers. And if they don't win tonight, they go to 7-7. And not only that, next week on Christmas Eve, they have the Kansas City Chiefs. So if the Seahawks want to make the playoffs, and if you get 3 victories, you're safe. You think 10 wins would get in, but you got to find a way to get 2 more victories. And in the remaining 4 games, it's the 49ers tonight, Kansas City, the Jets, and the Rams. Now, you would think one of those victories should be at the end of the season up against the Rams. But other than that, there's no gimme lock victory on the schedule. And we'll really see how different this Seahawks team is, because in week 2, when Seattle lost to the 49ers by 20 points, 27-7, it was, okay, Seattle had a nice little effort up against the Broncos in week 1, but then they came back down to earth in week 2, and not only came back down to earth in week 2, then they lost in week 3 up against the Falcons. But then they went on that run, and they went on a stretch where they beat Detroit. They lost to the Saints. They beat the Cardinals. They beat the Chargers. They beat the Giants. They beat the Cardinals. But ever since then, they have come back down to earth, and they have not looked like the team where they were about a little over a month to 2 months ago. So this game tonight is a game where Seattle has to have, in my opinion. Because if you don't win this one, and then you most likely will lose to Kansas City next week, you're leaving yourself no wiggle room where then you will have to beat the Jets and you'll have to beat the Rams. And you could lose to the Jets. It's not out of the realm of possibilities. And when you get into the final week of the season, you never know, even though you would think that Rams team would be checked out by then. But if Baker Mayfield's still starting, then that's a totally different conversation. But you never know where the desire is with a team that's coming off a Super Bowl and not only did crash, they have fallen, tripped over themselves, tried to get back up, fell down again, and then crashed again in the Rams. So could they be looking at what beach, what tropical island am I going to? Let's get ready for the vacation, no injuries, all that. That could be a possibility. The other conversation to have here with Seattle, and I don't want to take away with the comments that I'm about to make, because Geno Smith could be one of my more favorite stories this year in the NFL. Because no one, I don't care if you're the most clairvoyant person in the world, I don't care if you have the lottery numbers, if you're like Mattress Mac when it comes to the gambling world, I don't care who you are. Not even the most astute observer of football could have predicted this year that we would be talking in the last 4 weeks of the season about the Seahawks making the playoffs, but that's not the crazy part. It's that Geno Smith is the favorite, and it's not even close, to win comeback player of the year. And he's been 6th in passing yards in the league, 4th in touchdowns. I think he's still number one in completion percentage or in the top three. This guy this year has been pretty damn good. And the weird part is, he's 32. You look at Geno Smith, you can't be thinking to yourself, in my opinion, if you're the Seahawks, that you got your guy for the next 5 years. But then, with that being said, I hear Jordan Schultz, NFL insider, who was on with Pat McAfee, and Jordan Schultz is talking about maybe a 4 or 5 year deal for Geno Smith. And I'm like, a 4 or 5 year deal for Geno Smith? And the price tag being $120 to $130 million, if that's the case, hey, good for Geno, because a lot of people wrote you off. You didn't write back. You could write back right to the bank and laugh at everyone if you go get $120, $130 million. The Seahawks have been a feel-good story. I would like to see Seattle win tonight. I would like to see Seattle make the playoffs. I am skeptical if they win tonight. I am skeptical if they're going to miss the playoffs. But I'll tell you this. If the Seattle Seahawks, even with this one good year by Geno Smith, if they are foolish enough to go pay Geno Smith a 4 or 5 year deal, yeah, they'll lose me. They sucked me back in when they traded Russell Wilson. It was like, ooh, they should have found a way to make that relationship work. And then we saw how bad Russell Wilson was this year. We've seen how bad the Broncos are. They've been better than the Broncos. It's like, okay, yeah, let's get behind the Pete Carroll train. Rah, rah, let's go. Let's go, Pete. 12th man, baby. Let's go. But let's not ruin that positive work this year. And let's not get carried away with what Geno Smith did this year and just automatically assume next year Seattle Seahawks are going to have no problems at the quarterback position. Now, I'll give Geno credit. Not only the way that he's played, but the way that he's led. Because when he was with the Jets, couldn't get the time zones right. Got punched in the mouth by his own teammate. And things that don't really signify to me that you respect your franchise quarterback, or you can be a franchise quarterback when you have hiccups like that. And he has played great this year, but I got to see more of it. If the Seahawks this year and this offseason commit 4 or 5 years to Geno Smith, that will make me scratch my head. That will make me say, yeah, I don't think that's going to end well. So if I'm the Seahawks, I think you got two choices here. If your idea is to bring Geno Smith back, you franchise tag him, or you find a way to give him a 2 or a 3 year deal where maybe you load up some of the guaranteed money and then you can make that contract a little bit more favorable to the organization. And 3 could be a stretch because I don't think Geno Smith's going to play 3 great seasons. But if you really do like him and he's gotten the respect of that locker room, we've had Shelby Harris on this show and you heard the way that he's talked about Geno Smith. You've heard multiple interviews throughout the year with those Seahawks players and the way they talk about Geno Smith. But I'm not ready to go all in and say, yeah, Geno Smith, he's the replacement to Russ at 32. He's the guy that's going to be here for the next 5 years, because I don't believe that. I'm not saying you have to draft a quarterback this year in the first round. If you don't love someone, you have a guy that has showed that he can be a placeholder and a pretty good one. Maybe you could go find a way to get a trade done, or you could just keep it safe and wait until next year to try to figure it out where it goes. So I don't have a problem if the Seahawks want to bring Geno Smith back. But I do have a problem if they're going to tell you he's our guy for the next 4 or 5 years. Because that's a contract that I think you will end up regretting. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Geno Smith, who no one could have predicted this year, having the season that he did, will continue to ride this momentum wave. But if that's my team, and if I'm a fan of that team, and if I'm in charge of making that decision, I got to see more from Geno Smith. I got to see this in back-to-back years before I'm committing 4 or 5. It may even be a little bit crazy with what I'm saying in a 3-year deal. But a 3-year deal is by far and away less damaging long-term for your franchise than committing more and more money and more years if we're talking 4 or 5 years at $120, $130 million. Hickey, where are you at with this when it comes to Geno Smith? Well, I don't even know if I should even ask you, because everything you've said so far this year about the Seahawks have been completely wrong. But I'll give you a chance here for a little redemption. This offseason, the Seahawks, answer this question. At the quarterback position, should do what?
Draft a quarterback. Without a doubt.
Without a doubt?
Without a doubt.
Now
if you hate everyone.
But does that mean definitely in the first round?
At number 2 overall, yes. Which is the pick they have right now. If you hate everybody.
Well, it's not that you hate everybody. Everyone, you may love Bryce Young, and you may not love C.J. Stroud.
Then it's a different conversation. But I would find it hard-pressed to not love anybody else at this point, where you're going to just take the number 2 overall pick and get what is a golden ticket opportunity where you can make both the playoffs and also have a top 2-3 pick and not capitalize on it when the division is there for the taking.
Now, just because you draft a quarterback that early doesn't mean it's going to pan out. Carson True. Wentz was a number 2 overall pick. We know Baker Mayfield was a number 1 overall pick, but then Sam Darnold was number 3.
Wilson was 2. A lot more misses than hits, for sure.
We've seen a lot of guys that go early. The only way I'm taking a quarterback at 2 is if you love him. If you don't love him, I'm not taking a quarterback at 2. But if they go through their scouting report and Pete Carroll and John Schneider say, we love Bryce Young, we love C.J. Stroud, if they love Will Levis, whoever that name is, if that guy's available, then yeah, you take him at number 2. I would agree on that. But I don't know if you're playing that guy right away. You could. Now, we've seen Seattle before make a big money commitment to Matt Flynn, and the next thing you know, some guy by the name of Russell Wilson usurped him in that one training camp, in that one preseason, and it was Russell Wilson's team, or Russell Wilson was the quarterback, compared to Matt Flynn, where the money was invested. You do think, though, that Geno Smith's going to be back next year? Or do you think he could be elsewhere?
No, I think he will be back. I think he should be back. I think, like I said, outside of Bryce Young, I'm not sure if any other quarterback is start day one right away caliber, so I would do both, yeah. Bring Geno back. If you can, draft a guy.
And it's a rookie contract,
right,
too.
Go from there, but I mean, you're right. 4 years for like 120 for Geno's.
Yeah, I think the most I'm willing to go is a favorable 3-year deal where you could kind of move the cap number around and maybe just load them up on guaranteed money and things like that.
3 for $60.
Well, you're not getting 3 for $60 million.
Well, who's competing with the Seahawks?
It's a fair question, but with what Geno Smith has showed this year, you know how desperate people get, even when, and the results are good for Geno this year. We've seen guys that have had far worse results and just lesser results than Geno Smith end up getting deals or end up getting traded. And a lot of people scratch their heads. People get desperate when it comes to a quarterback. But if the deal that Jordan Schultz threw out there, he said what, as high as 130, right?
Yes. 4 or 5, 120, 130 range.
So if we're looking at 130 over 5 years, you're talking about $26 million a year. Now, you may have to go. Maybe, you said 3 for $60?
3 for $60.
You may have to do, and I'm not saying fully guaranteed, but you know how Kirk Cousins, when he went to the Vikings, got 3 for $90? Does 3 for $80 get it done with like 60 guaranteed?
Again, like I don't see a big market for Geno Smith, so I would say yes. Like, I know you're right about teams getting desperate. I just wonder now when it's not like a trade, it's actually you got to give him money. Like, I don't know if teams are going to be running to give him like 4 for 120 or 5 for 130. I don't know.
In the ideal world, I think the best thing for Seattle, if let's say they don't want to commit that much money because of the franchise tag for like 1 year on the cap, you get a 2 year deal where you bite the bullet and maybe you just overpay for 2 years, but then you know the length of the contract isn't going to end up killing you.
2 for 50, I'd do 2 for 60. Like, so I'm like, yeah, if you want to do super short but a lot of money, I'm with you. I have no problem with it. But yeah, these longer term deals, you can't. If you're the Seahawks, that's the one thing you absolutely cannot do this offseason.
You know what conversation I think you'll eventually start to hear as well when it comes to this draft? And I think we're still a few months away from that happening. But I do think you'll start to hear, once Bryce Young isn't available, and let's say Bryce Young's going 1 to the Texans, if people don't love Stroud or people don't love Will Levis, because then after that, like Anthony Richardson, I think, is a project. Hendon Hooker's coming up the leg injury. Maybe he goes in the second round. This quarterback draft class isn't as strong as it was made out to be. You may start to get some people that say, oh, just wait for Caleb Williams. Just wait for Caleb Williams. Now, as you know, Ryan, that's always a tricky game to play, because how many times do we think a team's going to be able to tank and a team's going to be in the number one pick spot, and then they're not?
The best quarterback is always the quarterback that's next in next year's draft, right? You can always look, oh, 2024, Caleb Williams. Well, I mean, also Caleb Williams had mentioned that maybe he's willing to come back for a senior year. Then you tank 2023, and all of a sudden,
that's not gonna happen.
He's back at US. Well, I mean, with NIL.
Caleb Williams will be in the NFL right when he's eligible. And you know who's also eligible next year? Drake May, too. So you could have teams start to think, okay, we need a quarterback. Let's go with maybe Carter or, so Will Anderson Jr. early on, and then we'll circle back next year for that quarterback and trade up if we need to when Caleb Williams and then also Drake May would be available. It's just something that I thought about could being a possibility potentially for some teams that maybe they're not thinking that way, but at least we're going to be thinking and talking about that way. On the radio. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's take a timeout. When we come on back, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going anywhere this offseason other than back to the Green Bay Packers. Tom Brady, I think, will be on the move. But we're going to give you about like 10 teams or so that if they're making a decision, Brady or Rodgers, who should they pursue this offseason? Is it Rodgers via trade if he wants out of Green Bay? Or is it Brady, who's a free agent? We'll get to that on the other side. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or opossums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Tom Brady is a free agent this upcoming offseason. Maybe Aaron Rodgers, even though he just signed a contract extension, says, Green Bay, I'm done with you. Trade me. So if a team has a decision between signing Tom Brady or trading for Aaron Rodgers, what should they do? Hickey's compiled the list of some teams. You'll get my answer in Brady or Rodgers right now. Oh, man. Brady, come back. Get the boombox ready. The way that this could potentially happen, I think the answer is Tom Brady. I don't think Belichick is trading the draft capital to get Aaron Rodgers. Is if, let's just say, and entertain me here, that Bill, and this would be, I would be sick to my stomach, if Bill really wanted to keep Matt Patricia. If you want to keep Matt Patricia, then I think you got to let Mac Jones kind of be like a peacock. I'm a peacock. I'm a peacock. You got to let him fly, and you got to let him fly elsewhere. Because Matt Patricia is just holding back Mac Jones because all he wants to have Mac Jones do is dink and dunk and have him throw screen passes instead of throw the ball down the field. You bring Brady back in, and you don't want to get rid of your pal Patricia. I'm sure Tom would be fine with that because Tom's walking back in, and he knows that Brady is really the offensive coordinator, and Bill and Brady will have their meetings like they used to do in New England anyway, and everything will be fine. I think if there is going to be a new quarterback in New England next year and it's between Brady or Rodgers, it would be Brady. It would not be Aaron Rodgers. I would be ill. I would projectile vomit if I ever see Tom Brady wearing a Jets uniform. The only place I would throw up more would be if Tom Brady was in Indianapolis. I think the answer here would be Aaron Rodgers. And I think they could potentially, if he became available, trade the draft capital because they've compiled a lot of it. And you look at that team, it seems like that they're a quarterback away from being really damn good. Like, the Jets are solid right now. They got a great defense. Offensively, you got some young pieces in Garrett Wilson. You got Elijah Moore there. You need a quarterback. Mike White's the best at what you got right now. So if Rodgers is available, I think it would be more likely than them signing Brady because I think Brady would say, yeah, go take a hike. This is actually a good one, Hickey, because Brady has the relationship with Josh McDaniels, and even though you can't stand Josh McDaniels, he's going to be back next year because the Raiders don't have the money to get rid of Josh McDaniels. And then you have Aaron Rodgers, whose BFF, as we thought for a while, was Devontae Adams. And you can't be thinking that Derek Carr is the guy. Like, Derek Carr may be back next year, but you're not thinking, oh, Derek Carr is the guy. I think the more likely answer here would be Brady, because you don't have to give up anything to get him. Where for Aaron Rodgers, you got to trade draft capital. Maybe they could just reverse the compensate. Oh, well, no, it'd be the Raiders that need to give up anything anyway. Just keep on giving them more pipeline trade acquisitions. Who knows what the heck would happen there. But I think the answer is Brady because of that relationship with Josh McDaniels. And it wouldn't cost any capital to go give on up for Brady compared to Aaron Rodgers. It's Aaron. I actually thought Pittsburgh could have been a destination this past offseason if he was to become available. Now, I told you that Rodgers wasn't leaving Green Bay. But I think in this case, if you're going to move on from a young quarterback in Kenny Pickett, you're hoping that that guy's going to be around for 3 years. Now, Brady could play for three more years. But when you look at Aaron Rodgers, even though we talk about retirement, I think it's more likely that you get 3 years out of Rodgers than it is Brady. Brady. I think it's Brady because of that relationship with Mike Vrabel. I really do think 4 years ago, Mike Vrabel wanted him. And then John Robinson, who's no longer there, gave that extension right before the start of free agency to Ryan Tannehill for 4 years. I think it would be Brady, and then you could still work along the young quarterback in Malik Willis because maybe Brady only plays for another year or two, and then you pop in Malik Willis. Are you serious? You really asked me this question, Hickey?
They are the betting favorite for one of the two quarterbacks.
Yeah, for Aaron Rodgers.
And
Brady's not stupid enough to go team up with Jim Irsay.
I would like to see you upset. So him, Brady in a Colts uniform.
You would be okay with Brady in a Colts uniform?
Just from the only perspective of it would get you very pissed.
Yeah. You'd also be looking for a new job.
So you said you wouldn't be gifting me a number 12 Tom Brady jersey?
No.
And the Colts white is pretty fresh.
I would storm the NFL office and prevent all production of Tom Brady Indianapolis Colts jerseys.
Would you be like Tom, Dave Portnoy when they were going to suspend Brady for the flake? Would you go chain yourself to the commissioner's office?
You know, I've never been to prison.
From going through?
I've never been to prison. I've never wanted to go. But in that case, yeah, maybe I'd call up Portnoy and say, you don't know who I am, but let's go prevent any Colts jerseys from being produced. There is no shot. This is Aaron Rodgers. I don't even care if Brady said he wanted to go to the Colts. I would still say Aaron Rodgers in this question. But logically, if the Colts are going to get a quarterback this offseason, first of all, I don't think Brady's going to play for Jim Irsay. I'll tell you that. But Aaron Rodgers, I think, could be in play if you just trade the draft capital. This one's easy. Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers would be great for the Commanders. And even if Dan Snyder's there or not, like, Brady wouldn't put up with Dan Snyder. I think Aaron Rodgers just wouldn't give a bleep. I look at that team. You got Jahan Dotson. You got Terry McLaurin. You got the two good young running backs. You got a ton of defensive players. That's a team. Now, they're in a tough division now, which now we have to say that, where the last few years was the NFC least. But you look at the Eagles, they're strong. The Cowboys are strong. Giants starting to build something, not with a lot of talent, but look at the amount of wins that they have. I look at the Commanders. I know Taylor Ham Heineke's been good, but you still need a franchise quarterback. If you get Rodgers this year, I'd be down. This is the toughest one, I think, Hickey. And I think the answer would probably be it's Rodgers, because I wouldn't see why Brady would go sign with the Giants when the Giants really don't have much on offense. Where for Aaron Rodgers, and he would have say on where he goes, but it would get done via trade, so maybe there's a better chance that Rodgers would okay via trade. I just don't see Brady in a freeway on free agency willing to go to the New York Giants. This is tough. The Seahawks are, in a sneaky way, a pretty good destination. Now, you have the draft capital if you wanted to make the trade. And you have a really good coach in Pete Carroll, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame. You have DK Metcalf. You have Tyler Lockett. Hickey, I actually think the answer here is Brady. Because I think if it was a decision between Brady or trading for Aaron Rodgers, the Seahawks would try to get the best of both worlds, where you're bringing in Brady, and maybe Brady and Rodgers play for the same amount of years. Who knows? And you also get to keep that draft capital with all the picks that you have. So I would say that it's probably more Brady than Rodgers. What about you on this one? What would your answer be?
I would agree from the exact perspective of draft capital. Like, that's where I think that is. Like, sometimes maybe Rodgers would be the better fit, and maybe even the better quarterback, and maybe you can get an extra year to Rodgers compared to Brady. But you're right. Like, giving up, I mean, what, the second overall pick right now if you're the Seahawks? Would that do it for Aaron Rodgers, like that alone? Or
that's the other thing. I don't know what the trade value would be for Aaron Rodgers. Like, you're definitely getting back a first-round pick,
right?
And he's under contract, but he's also old.
Right. So you get, let's just say 2 years, right? Either way, Brady or Rodgers, two good years.
Maybe it's like a first and a two?
I'd rather take the guy that's for free, right? No draft capital, then I think it's a tiebreaker there at least. But
yeah, I would agree with you on that. It's Brady. Now, that would actually be fun if it got into trading for Rodgers or Brady going to the 49ers, because Rodgers originally wanted to go there when they drafted Alex Smith with the number one pick. And we know Brady has wanted to play with the 49ers for years because of the fact that that was his team growing up as a kid as a Joe Montana fan. But the reason why I think it's Brady is I then believe the way, and I could be wrong, because once Brady gets there, he could say he wants to go play for another 5 years. But I think Brady would look at it, I'll go for one last Super Bowl run. That's a team that is ready to win right now. I think the 49ers may be interested a little bit more in Brady than Rodgers because of the clutch play of Brady in the postseason. And they're really maybe a great quarterback away from winning a Super Bowl. They've been close the last few years. And you could go with Brady for a year, keep Trey Lance on the roster, and then circle back to Trey after that. Where if you bring in Rodgers, I got to think, unless Rodgers plays one more season and then retires, that Rodgers may finish out that contract. This one, it'd be weird seeing Rodgers in a Lions uniform or Brady in a Lions uniform, but I think the answer is Brady, because there is no way the Green Bay Packers would trade Aaron Rodgers in division to the Detroit Lions. So it would be Brady. Started his football career when he was in college at Michigan. You go back to Detroit, and then you go play for the Lions. Imagine Brady in a Lions uniform.
That Hawaii blue would look good on him.
I can't really see that. You go back to Michigan and you're playing for the Lions and that blue, ooh. It'd be fun, though. You got Amon-Ra St. Brown, you got Williams, you got Swift.
You got Jameson Williams. You got Dan Campbell.
Damn, him and Dan Campbell. You talk like two guys fired up. Dan Campbell, I bet you not Tom Brady does the whole full field run and then Chance lets effing go.
Yeah.
I think Dan Campbell would do it with him.
I think they're the same age or pretty close.
That's hilarious. Maybe Dan Campbell will come out of like retirement or, you know, be a player coach.
4 o'clock games could be tough there. Could run into the early bird special just a little bit. Brady was born in 77 and Campbell was born in 76. So they're a year apart.
He's actually older. Wow.
Yeah. 46 and 45. So there you go. All righty. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, does the Kyler Murray injury impact Lamar Jackson's future? We'll discuss.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I saw that Steph Curry, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, is expected to miss a few weeks with a left shoulder injury. That is what sources did tell Adrian Wojnarowski. Hickey, if you needed to describe the NBA season in one word so far, 30-plus games in, you know, depending on what team you are, how would you describe this NBA season as a whole so far?
One word to describe the season as a whole. I would say, I don't want to say predictable, but
I don't think this is predictable really so far. I think it's lifeless. That's my word. There's been no juice with this NBA season. Boston's been a good story. They've been playing really strong. You knew the Bucks were going to be great. And I was like, Milwaukee, Cleveland's been good. The Nets are starting to get back into it. Joel Embiid seems like he hates the fans in Philadelphia right now. Did you see that stuff the other day? Joel Embiid said that he thinks the fans want him traded. And he knows the fans want him traded. You could never have an athlete that is more wrong than what Joel Embiid said the other day, that he believes Sixers fans want him traded. That's the complete opposite. But that sounds like a guy that really, as much as he embraced Philadelphia and his love playing in Philadelphia, it's starting to sound like he's starting to have doubts and he's starting to plan his departure. When you start to say that the fans, who all they have done has applauded you, has genuflected to you, has said, oh, you're Joel, the process, Embiid, we love you, we want you to win a championship here in Philadelphia. When you start to say, yeah, the fans don't love me, I know they don't love me, I don't get what's going through that guy's mind.
Or is allowing the idiotic vocal minority to really impact, you know, his decision making?
What idiotic
as well.
Vocal minority here?
Well, every fan base, you know, is like that. Trade so and so.
Eggface 2467893 on
trade
Twitter.
Embiid. There's at least one person, every single fan base, that wants the best player traded, fired. I mean, you see with Patriots fans, there's a small minority that wanted Bill Belichick fired. That said, Tom Brady, see you later. It happens everywhere.
Yeah, they're a small pimple on the anus of someone.
But
right
when
now.
You scream, and if...
But no one's screaming trade Joel Embiid. I haven't heard a single... You know what? I'm going to Twitter search here. I'm going to go down the cesspool that is Twitter. Trade Embiid.
Oh, you'll find that.
No, I bet you the only thing that comes up. That. I bet you the only thing that comes up are people that are saying, yeah, Joel Embiid should be traded because the Sixers aren't going to do right by him with how much of a bleep show that organization has been.
Yeah, Twitter's the one place where you can find you any take about anyone.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. They did a poll question today. Do you want the Sixers to trade Joel Embiid? What do you think the results are right now?
I would say 87% say no. Oh,
pretty close. 85.8%.
But again, there's that 15%, the idiotic vocal minority.
Yeah, when you go to their Twitter profile page, it's all either pornographic images or it's bots or spams or spam accounts.
I don't disagree. I'm just clearly
those aren't actual people.
Either he wants out and that's just kind of planting the seed.
That's what it is.
Or again, he's allowing the idiots to run his life or ruin his mood. Probably that's a better way to say it. Ruin his mood.
I think it's more so he's starting to plan his departure, where he's got a few years left in the contract. He's saying, okay, James Harden's on a closer. Ben Simmons obviously did not work out. He's no longer there. I do kind of miss Jimmy Butler, who's in Miami. I could see him trying to force his way out soon. Because remember, with all the wear and tear in that guy's body, who knows, even though he's playing great basketball, like who knows how much longer that guy's going to be able to play. But getting back to the original question, how do you describe this NBA season? For me, it's lifeless. You look at the Western Conference. I like what the Pelicans are doing, and we'll see what happens when they get Brandon Ingram back because they haven't had him, I think, for 8 or 9 games. They're still 18-9. The Grizzlies, they were good last year. They're good again this year. We'll see if they get it done in the postseason. I like that Jamal Murray's back with the Nuggets. And Dame Lillard playing well. The Suns haven't been that good. Clippers are fine. The Mavericks, they got one player in Luka Doncic who's great. The Warriors have been underwhelming. They're 14-15. The Lakers stink. They're 11-16. I just look around this NBA season. It's kind of not like when I ask you for a great storyline from this NBA season, I guess the great storyline, if I had to give you one in the West, it's the potential of the Pelicans because you got to remember the stardom of Zion Williamson. And he's there, and they found a way second half to do well last year. And right now, they'd be the number one overall seed. And then in the East, just can we get to the Eastern Conference Finals now? Celtics and Bucks? Barring injuries, which have been a big storyline the last few years, it seems like those are the two best teams, not only in the East, by far, I would say in the entire NBA, the Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, I'll say for the Celtics, I would say it's still a good story because, I mean, what happened with Ime Udoka, I know they didn't have a choice. You still don't know many details.
Players
but
are still
if you're
there.
A player, I get it, but that's a jarring event right before the season.
Sure.
You know, your coach
and
is
no one
fired.
Really knows
you go to
what
the
happens.
Finals. The players didn't really get an answer, so it's like they have clarity of what happened. You're hiring Joe Mazzulla, which no one really, is Joe Mazzulla going to be a good head coach? I have no idea. So far, so good.
But it's impressive that they got to the start. You knew the Celtics were going to be good. You knew with the roster they have, this team was in the finals last year. I know Ime Udoka was so important. But you knew they would, at worst, still be a top five seed in the Eastern Conference.
Sure, when the end of the season comes around, but I think it's fair to question if they would have got off to a hot start they have so far. That's where they would have struggled and got off to the Suns, getting off to a slow start in part because DeAndre, there's tension between DeAndre Ayton and Monty Williams, and exactly surprised.
I'm still stunned that DeAndre Ayton's back, by the way.
You know, they're struggling right now, so it's just
isn't that crazy how DeAndre Ayton is back on the Suns?
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like much was paved over in the offseason, that's for sure.
No, Monty Williams even said it, and DeAndre Ayton said it right before the start of the season. They haven't had a conversation about it.
Gave him his space.
Could you imagine, at the Super Bowl, let's say, because that would be what would be the equivalence for us. At the Super Bowl this year, which is a huge week of shows, we're in front of a lot of people, you got all the guests. If I say to you on Thursday, hey, Hickey, do me a favor. Go to the opposite side of the convention center and go sit down. We don't want you. And then your contract's up and we give you a new contract and we don't ever have a conversation about what happened at Super Bowl week? That to me makes no sense. There's no logic there. Where Monty Williams benches DeAndre Ayton and didn't like his effort in the closeout game in the playoffs, and then the next thing you know, he's back, but they never have a convo about it? How the heck does that make sense?
It doesn't. I think that's part of the reason why you're seeing the Suns right now stumbling over themselves.
I would love to get in a fight with someone and then make it my decision to bring that person back and then just never talk about the fight. Like, that just doesn't happen anywhere.
And then not just bring him back, but also match a contract offer. You basically had one foot out the door in the first place. I think it was the Pacers. So it's like, Aiden probably thought, okay, I'm out of here. See you later. And then all of a sudden it's, oh, no, we'll match it.
And I forget when they could trade him. I think he's like locked in until January or February or something like that. I remember when we were talking about it, there was some stipulation because of the way the CBA is. If you sign someone that way, you can't trade them until I forget what the date is. But
yeah, it's either sometime December or January.
Yeah.
You're locked in. Then you can trade newly signed players.
So that's – you got to think he's going to get traded, right? Can't be traded until January 15, 2023.
Like, why sign if you're going to just trade him? You would have got two first-round picks.
Yeah.
In an offer sheet, situation. Someone's got to figure it out. They got to sit in a room, lock the door, and say, we're not letting you out until you two are able to get on the same page and figure it out. Because
fair.
Clearly right now, through the first quarter of the season, it's not gone well.
All right, get into the NFL conversation that we teased right before the break. Does the Kyler Murray injury impact Lamar Jackson's future? So whatever the reasons are, whether it's the Ravens lowballing Lamar Jackson or Lamar Jackson wanting to wait, so the price kept on going up and up and up because he's already been a unanimous MVP. You saw last year, Kyler Murray demand for the contract, and a lot of people thought it was premature. A lot of people thought it wasn't deserving yet. He got his way, and then last week on Monday night, start this week, he tears the ACL out for the season. Now, could you have imagined if Kyler Murray tore that ACL, didn't have the new deal? He may still have eventually got paid by the Cardinals, but he would have lost a lot of leverage power. Now, you could say, well, Dak got hurt, and then Dak got the big contract extension after that, but Dak's more established in this league than Kyler Murray is. Now, Lamar Jackson, I would think, could go through a nasty injury, and there would still be a team that would be lining up, at least one team, that would be lining up to pay him. So I wonder if Lamar, seeing what just happened to Kyler and the way that Kyler got his money, if he starts to think, I don't have that long-term insurance. I don't have that long-term security. So let's get a deal done this offseason. And then if maybe I don't want to be here in Baltimore, then down the road you could find a way to work with the team, not that you tell them this, to kind of force your way out and demand a trade. Because we've seen players before sign contract extensions and then shortly after that go, yeah, I don't really want to be here. I would think in Lamar's mind, Ryan, that this Kyler injury doesn't really impact him at all. Because I think Lamar already knowing, I'm trying to put myself in his body. He already knows he's a unanimous MVP. I think he believes this should go on his terms and his road. And therefore, he's not going to take a deal until I think he gets everything what he wants. Or pretty damn close to it.
I agree from the sense of I don't think this impacts his future from a money perspective. Because like you said, I think if he's out there and available, a team will pay him whatever he'll get the bag. I think this does impact him with the Ravens' future. There's been hesitations in the past about signing Lamar. I don't think if you're the Ravens and you watch the Cardinals just sign Kyler to a massive deal and then he tears ACL, I don't think that makes them more inclined to give Lamar a deal.
Yeah, I don't think it would make him more inclined.
So I think this but seals the deal his future with the Ravens, but I think he'll still get his money.
Why can't they get a deal done then this offseason? What do you mean seals the deal this offseason?
Like, if you're the Ravens, you already had hesitation and skepticism about signing Lamar to a long-term deal to begin with.
Well, that we don't know for sure. Well, we don't.
No deal's gotten done.
Well, he said when Lamar wants to get a deal done.
Deal's gotten done.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that that's skepticism necessarily on the Ravens' part. I wouldn't jump to that conclusion.
Lamar pushed
right
back
away
on everything that they said, so that shows you there's something going on.
That comes down to who you believe there, and Lamar doesn't have a traditional agent, so who knows? This is an untraditional process, but I would not say that there was big-time skepticism so far in the Ravens just because of Kyler injury. Now they're not going to be willing to get a deal done.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.